alter the temporary and conditional nature of God's covenant with the nation, he was wrong. God had made it clear from the founding of the nation that Israel was a divine means to a divine end. You may not know this, but Solomon's temple embodied design features similar to pagan temples found throughout the ancient world. If you take the Old Testament seriously, it's hard to imagine this to be the case. The Jewish scriptures include extraordinary detail of how the temple was to look, operate, and who had permission to operate it. But despite a few unique features, the Jewish temple shared much in common with pagan temples in the ancient world, including porches, chambers, courts, living quarters, and an altar used for animal sacrifice. Pagan temples of that era always included a sacred space designed specifically for the image of the god for whom the temple was built and to whom the temple was dedicated, a god vault. It was this most sacred of sacred chambers that set the Jewish temple apart from all the competition. In fact, it could be argued that this chamber, often referred to as the Holy of Holies, was the only thing that set the Jewish temple apart from the competition. The distinguishing characteristic of the Jewish temple was not something it included that the competition lacked. Quite the opposite. The differentiating characteristic of the Jewish temple was something it lacked that everybody else had. An image. The Holy of Holies was like a beautifully, ornately designed frame without a picture. This is why Israel didn't need a temple to begin with. The distinguishing characteristic of Judaism was not the design of their temple. It was their lack of an image representing their God. Images were strictly forbidden in Judaism. As we discovered earlier, this particular prohibition was one of the Big Ten. The notion of worshiping an image or an idol is so foreign to us that an empty idol chamber doesn't strike us as odd. But in ancient times, the very opposite was true. A religion without an image was, well, it was absurd. In fact, when Roman general Pompey entered Jerusalem in 63 BC, he conducted a self-guided tour of the Jewish temple. He was curious to see this Jewish God he'd heard so much about, the one so easily offended and who considered himself too good to join any pantheon of gods. He brushed aside the priest and boldly went where only the high priest had gone before, the Holy of Holies. As he pulled aside that over-engineered curtain separating the God chamber from the outer court, he was dismayed to find there was no God, no idol, only a golden table, a candlestick, and about 2,000 talents of gold, all of which he left undisturbed. Perhaps he thought, these crazy Jews, they built this elaborate physical structure for a God who has no physical representation. Who ever heard of a God without an image? Exactly. Who would hear of this strange God who could not be contained or reduced to or defined by any created thing? Eventually, everybody. How? Through the nation of Israel. Now, back to Solomon. While the temple may not have been God's original idea, it served a purpose. It highlighted, accentuated, and underscored the principal difference between Israel's God and those of her neighbors. Israel served a living God. Unlike the pagan gods in Solomon's day or those worshipped centuries later by citizens of Rome, Israel's God did not need to be carted into his temple and hoisted onto a pedestal. Israel's God never needed to be wheeled out by priests on festival days. Israel's God didn't need to be locked up at night so no one would steal him or chip a piece off for good luck. Israel's God didn't need bodyguards. He didn't need to be protected from the elements. Israel's God was spirit, a holy spirit. Israel's God wasn't put in his temple. Israel's God inhabited his temple. Just as he had inhabited the tabernacle all those years ago, he inhabited Solomon's temple on his own terms. Here's how it happened. The priest then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. But the presence of the Ark did not equate to the presence of God. The Ark containing God's law was not created as an object of worship. So what happened next is what gave the temple its significance. When the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priest could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. The on-his-own-terms presence of the Spirit God was the distinguishing characteristic of the Jewish temple.